I got a powerful message. Last night we talked about biblical keys to divine healing, and today I'm going to be talking about something that kind of stays in the same vein as healing. It's a healing weekend at Living Waters Chapel. Healing Waters, amen? All right, here we go. Psalm 51, 10 through 12. And it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." Now, quickly, jump ahead a little bit to Proverbs chapter 4. Just one verse I want to look at. And it says, it's Proverbs 4:23, and it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it," out of your heart, not the pump, your soul, "for out of it spring the issues of life." Today I want to talk about something extremely important that a lot of people, a lot of Christians don't think about, and I think it's very important because it will determine the direction of your life. I want to talk about how to spiritually cleanse or detox your soul. How to spiritually cleanse or detox your soul. What are you talking about, James, right? Well, as I was in prayer this week, I kept hearing the phrase, detox your soul. Detox your soul. So I knew the Holy Spirit was revealing something to me because it kept coming to me. You ever have that before where a phrase just kept coming to you? Well, that's when you know the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal something to you. When it's not your thought, you weren't even thinking about that thing. But something keeps replaying over and over like that. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit saying, talk about that topic today. So I said, yes, sir, right? Listen to this. The word detox is defined as this: a process or period of time in which one abstains from or rids the body of toxic or unhealthy substances. All right? The word cleanse, I'm going to kind of use detox and cleanse kind of interchangeably, all right? The word cleanse is defined as this: a process or period of time during which a person attempts to rid the body of substances regarded as toxic or unhealthy. Now, so let's take that to the, not the body level, it's good to detox your body, amen, how many of you know that, amen. All right, but let's take that to the soul level, all right, say soul. You have got to understand this, that your soul, your mind, when I talk about your soul, I'm talking about your mind, will, and emotions, I'm talking about your mind, all right, your mind, your soul is constantly picking up and taking information all the time. There is not one moment that there's something not happening or your soul is not picking up, all right? The soul, the Holy Spirit showed it to me this way. The soul functions like the liver of your mental processes. You know what the liver does? The liver will detox your body. It's taking out harmful substances out of your body and it gets rid of them, right? All right, so the soul, that's what's going on. So the liver picks up stuff. Whatever you put in your body, it goes through the liver. It's not bypassing it. Come on, when you have that elephant ear, when you have that guy, no, it's not bypassing it. No, it's got to run through that filter, say filter, of the liver. So everything you see, everything you hear has to go through your soul. Your soul is picking stuff up all the time. And just like it's good to detox your physical body, just like it's good to detox your liver now and then, it's good and needful to detox your soul or mind. All right? So here we go. So today I want to touch on some very important points that the Holy Spirit gave me. He put upon my heart to share with you about detoxing your soul so we can spiritually function at its maximum potential. Because how many of you know, when your liver's congested, it's not functioning at its normal potential. What happens? You start to feel sluggish. You start to see it on the outward appearance of a person, right? So the same is true with your soul. When your soul starts to get congested with junk, it's noticeable in people. Amen? Well, it's getting mighty quiet in here right now. Come on. Listen. God commands us in Proverbs 4:23. He said, keep your heart with all diligence. All right? This is very important to understand, because what the Lord is trying to reveal to us is this important point. Don't ever forget it. We are the keepers, the gardeners of our own heart, not God. God gave it to you, and you're a steward of it. Amen? That's why you cannot blame, I cannot blame God for problems in my life. You can't blame God for problems in your life. Why? Because you're supposed to be the caretaker of the garden of your soul, the garden of your heart. We are commanded to take very special, very diligent care of our heart, because the word says these words. It says, because out of the heart, out of the soul, flows the issues of life. Anybody going through any issues in life? Oh yeah, come on. If you're breathing, you are, right? So here's what's happening. God is warning us. He's telling us that literally the direction, I like to say it this way, or the flow, the quality of our life is dependent upon one thing as Christians: to diligently pay attention to the condition of your soul, of your heart. Now, what's the word diligence means? I mean, the word diligence is defined as this: a careful and persistent work or effort. Listen, it's going to take a little effort to detox your life. All right? You guys ready for it? Thank you, you two. We got a church full of congested souls in here. Yeah, all right? We need a spiritual enema. That's what we need here. Right? It's good to laugh. It's good to laugh, right? All right, listen. So I'm administering the spiritual enema this morning, okay? It's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it, all right? Now, yeah, I said it. I love it. All right, now, back to business. I never heard a pastor say that before. Well, now you have. There's a first to everything, right? There's always got to be a first to everything. So God is telling us to pay very close attention and detail to what is going into and taking root in our heart or soul. I'm using heart and soul interchangeably. You just know that, okay? And he said it has to be a persistent or a continual work. It's not just a one-time thing. Do you guys just brush your teeth one time and you're done for your whole life? No, right? It's a persistent, it's a constant thing, all right? If you feel like, listen, if you feel like your life is a mess right now, it's because there's a mess in your heart. There's a mess on the inside of you, in your soul right now. And that's what we need to untangle, amen? Remember, your spirit man, as a Christian, your spirit man is the only part of you that's born again. Your spirit man. So that means your soul and body are not born again, right? Now, the Holy Spirit lives inside of your spirit man. The only reason your body is called the temple of the Holy Spirit is because your spirit lives in your spirit man. If you're breathing today, your spirit's still in your physical body, right? All right? So your spirit man is not the problem. Your heart or soul or your mind, like I said, is not born again, and it must be renewed. It must be transformed by the Word of God. So you could look at your heart. I like, as I mentioned a minute ago, let's really nail this here. You could look at your heart or soul as a garden. Say garden. And here's what's going on. As you live life, wherever you go, there are seeds being thrown on the garden of your heart in life all the time. All right? Here's what you need to get a revelation of, though. Are you listening? Many seeds get thrown on the garden of your heart every day, but not all seeds get planted in your heart. There's seeds being thrown on it, but not every seed needs to be planted in your heart. All right? Here's the deal. The ones that get planted in your heart are the thoughts that you meditate on and you start to believe. Those are the thoughts that start to affect your life. All right? So this is the diligence that God is trying to warn us as Christians about in the Word of God. He's saying seed's going to be thrown. All right? Listen, we live in an evil world. We live in a fallen world. There's going to be seeds thrown. When you go to work, a secular job, there's going to be seeds thrown. All right? We know this, right? But here's what God's trying to say. Don't plant bad seeds in your heart by meditating on those things. That's what he's trying to say. God knows that we live in this fallen world, all right? But this is why he's given us warnings to keep your heart with all diligence. Pay very close attention to what you're planting in your soul, in your heart. God is warning us not to allow corrupt and evil seeds to be planted in our heart. So he's telling us to do preventative maintenance. Say preventative maintenance. Preventative maintenance is very important, right? I mean, I'd rather do preventative maintenance on my airplane or car instead of waiting for it to break and then say, oh, now I got to fix. No, no, no. If you would just do the normal maintenance on the thing, it wouldn't break, right? Put oil in the plane. Put oil in the car. Come on, somebody, right? It's called preventative maintenance. That's what God is trying to tell us to do as Christians. We need preventative maintenance, all right? So don't allow those evil seeds to take root in your heart because they will negatively affect the flow and direction of your life. Demons and the entire kingdom of darkness are always trying to throw evil and corrupt seeds in your soul by planting thoughts on the inside of you, all right? But you don't have to plant them in the soil of your heart, all right? Again, now, remember this. Seeds will always be thrown at you, but you're the one that makes the decision to plant those seeds when you meditate on those seeds. All right, meditation means it's not just a passing thought. It means you're actually running, you're mulling this thing over in your mind. And remember, I said it before, that scientific study, how long do you have before a thought becomes your own? You have, I'm going to say, listen, you have 17 seconds to throw that evil seed off the soil of your heart. Anything longer of that, you're meditating on it. Is it true? I don't know. It sounds good. You know how many people, though, I've come up to me who say, when a bad thought comes, all I can think about is your sermon where you said 17 seconds. Praise God. Guess what? It's working then. 17 seconds. Say it. 17 seconds. It's like the enemy. It's like the enemy pulls the pin on a grenade and throws it on your heart. You have 17 seconds to get rid of it. Because in 18 seconds, that grenade's going to go off. Oh, come on. I'm giving you some visuals today. The seeds or thoughts that come to you, they are spiritual. Thoughts are spiritual. And the only way you can fight against those thoughts is by spiritual means. Remember, I said it last night at the healing service, if you were here. A spiritual problem can only be remedied or solved by spiritual means. All right? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 real quick here. Oh, we got to detox our soul. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, very popular passage. But it's good to put ourselves in remembrance of it, amen? Now, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Why? Because a spiritual problem demands a spiritual remedy. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for the pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, say thought, into captivity. That literally means you're arresting that thought. You're arresting it, you're putting handcuffs on it, you're putting it in a cell, and you're saying you're going no further. You're not going into my heart. Are you getting it? Every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. So all warfare that's coming against us in this life is spiritual. And the only thing the enemy can really do is throw thoughts in your mind to try to influence you for you to cooperate with them. Now, the Word of God is very clear about that. Your thoughts or any thought that comes into our mind is spiritual. The Word of God calls negative thoughts, I like this, the Word of God calls negative thoughts arguments. You know what that means? If it's an argument, God's saying you shouldn't be agreeing with it. When the enemy puts a thought in your mind, it should be an argument. It should be an argument. In other words, you should say, no, that's not right. Get it out. And the Word of God also calls evil thoughts vain imaginations. Vain imaginations. So our weapons in this battle are spiritual weapons. They're not carnal, okay? That's this whole election stuff, this whole political climate of this country. It is a spiritual battle. How else can Democrats be so bloodthirsty about abortion and taunt it around like it's a badge of honor? It's demonic. It's evil. The enemy comes at you with a thought, and then you must counteract it with another positive thought. Why? Because thoughts are spiritual. Thoughts are spiritual. You've got to come back at it with a positive thought that's rooted in the Word of God. It's got to be rooted in the Word of God, all right? It's got to be a positive thought that counteracts that negative thought. So you need to catch this revelation. According to this verse, our thoughts are more powerful than the attacks of the enemy. Are you following it? It literally says we can cast down those arguments, all right? And our thoughts have the final say in our soul, not the enemy. Our thoughts, say my thoughts, have the final say, not the enemy. It's because here's what happens is many Christians think, oh, the devil's so powerful, so overwhelming. No, no, no. This verse tells us we can cast down those arguments. That means that your authority is greater than the influence or power of the devil. We have the power, the authority, literally, to cast them down. It really, you want to know what it is? It's a battle of authority. Say authority. Authority. It's a battle of authority, invitation, and permission. And you have the final say. And the devil knows that, but he don't want you to know that. Because he wants you to be in fear, live in fear of him, and think that he's this greater thing. Come on. In fact, there's a scripture in the Word of God that in the end times, it says, when we see Satan, you know what people are going to say? This is the one that caused the nations to fall? What? That's the mindset we have to have as Christians in everyday life. What, devil? This is the one that's trying to drag me into the pits. Come on. Your authority is greater than the thoughts of the enemy. Oh, my. You got to start getting the laugh of faith at the devil. The laugh of faith. That's who's doing this? Come on. That's the one that put this disease on my body. Come on. Your authority is greater than the power of the enemy. So here's what we need to do. We need to stop agreeing with the kingdom of darkness. We need to cast down the evil and negative thought, argument, or vain imagination and start to shift your focus to the positive. I talk a lot about focus. Why? Because it's so important. Where focus goes, energy flows. You see, that is the real, that's really the level of diligence we are to possess as Christians. All right? Be aware of what you are agreeing with in your life. Be aware. Some of you have a hard time saying no. Why don't you start saying no to the devil first, huh? And your life will start to shift. Amen? The fact is this, we get too spiritually lazy and overwhelmed with distractions that we allow the garden of our heart, the garden of our mind, to get congested with spiritual weeds. How many of you hate weeds? It's time to throw some Roundup on those things. It's time to throw some spiritual Roundup on those things. Now, I heard someone recently, I overheard someone talking, not here, but I heard someone recently make a comment to another person, and they said these words. They said, "Why is that person's life such a mess all the time?" You know me, as a pastor, I'm like, oh, I could fit that in a sermon somewhere here. Always looking for sermon ideas, right? But they said, why is that person's life a mess all the time? Like nothing ever goes good. They're always complaining, right? Well, the answer is found in what I'm talking about today. Their soul is a mess. Their heart is a mess. And it is negatively affecting every area of their life. I could have chimed in and told the person that, right? They'll be like, who are you? Well, I'm Pastor James at Living Waters Chapel. Show up and maybe your life will get straightened out, right? Come on. But the word of God says this. It says, the kingdom of God is within you. Romans 14, 17 says, listen to this. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not a natural thing. That is a spiritual thing. The kingdom of God is spiritual. The kingdom of God is in our spirit, man, right? That's righteousness, peace, and joy that's in our spirit, man. But many times, we don't experience that peace and joy because our unrenewed soul or mind is blocking those things from coming to the surface in our life. You know, listen, stop yelling at the devil. He's not the block to your peace and joy. Your unrenewed mind is. Oh, come on. Oh, that's a truth bomb right there. That'll save you many dollars in counseling. Many dollars in prescription medication. Right? Think about it. See? Renewing and transforming our mind means that we must cleanse and detox our mind. We need to pull those spiritual weeds up by the root. Don't just deal with fruit. You need to go to the root. Say, I need to go to the root. So how do we detox our soul? After saying all that, let's get started this morning, right? Listen. Listen, some of you thought I was almost finished. Well, the joke's on you. All right. We need to clean up our thought life. That includes removing burdens we are carrying from our past. What we are watching and listening to, what we're putting in our soul. Amen? Ultimately, spiritual battles are won and lost in our soul. When I say soul, I'm talking about in our thought life. It's a thought life war. It's a thought life war. It's a perspective war, right? How can two people see the same thing yet have a different perspective on it? One has a negative perspective, the other one has a positive perspective. How is that? It's their focus. It's their thought life. It all begins in the thought life. It is crucial that you pay very close attention. Listen to this. I'm going to help someone today. It is crucial that you pay very close attention and be diligent to paying attention to what thoughts seem to take your attention. You want to get help today? Listen to this. All right? Here's the importance of being diligent in doing that, and paying attention at the thoughts that come into your mind. Because you will start to notice patterns. Say patterns. You will start to notice patterns on the inside of you that creep up on a regular basis. Listen to me. That is revealing. Those things, those thoughts that creep up on a regular basis are revealing the strongholds and wounds you're dealing with in your soul. Now, for example, some of you are lost. Let me give you an example. You may notice thought patterns you take hold of always have to do with rejection or the victim mentality. Nobody in here, of course, right? It's the people watching online only, right? Yes. The negative thoughts that you are given place to on a regular basis reveals the wounds. It reveals the area of your soul that you need healing in. So a victim mentality is tied to rejection because anything a person says to you, you see it through that lens or perspective of rejection. Anybody following me here? It makes you think that nobody likes you. It makes you think that everybody, the whole world, is against you. You're the only one that does everything. It's always a pity party for yourself. That's a horrible way to live, isn't it? So wounds in the soul are so powerful that they can shift your perspective of an individual to view and highlight something negative in every situation. Anybody know anyone like that? No, don't answer that. When a negative emotion takes root in your heart, it affects every area of your life. It consumes your focus. Now, here's what you need to do. The Holy Spirit showed me something very important here. When I'm talking about when something takes root in your heart, say root. The Holy Spirit said this. He said, think of a root of an emotion like a hose or a vein in your body that carries that spiritual or emotional poison to every area of your life. One got it. Yeah. Are you following me? I said when something takes root, it's like a vein, and it goes to every part of your body. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Let me show you something here. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. Oh, my, my, my. The Holy Ghost knows exactly what we need. Amen? And obviously, he said, detox your soul. Hallelujah. It says this, pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone, underline looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root, say root, of bitterness springing up, causing trouble, by this many become defiled. This isn't talking about unbelievers, it's talking about Christians. Now, here's the deal. Let's talk a little bit about bitterness, shall we? A root of bitterness will poison and kill every area of your life. In fact, it will even affect your physical health. Bitterness, let's talk a little bit deeper about it. Bitterness forms and grows a root when anger goes unchecked in your life. A root will always bear fruit. Here's how the dictionary defines bitterness. Listen to this. Bitterness is defined as feelings of sadness, resentment, and anger that build up over time, especially anger. Say anger. So here's what's going on. So bitterness is just not one thing. It's a culmination of several things. The Holy Spirit showed it to me this way. Bitterness is like a tornado that forms on the inside of a person from the perfect storm of different negative emotions. It's a tornado. And it progresses over time, like a cancer, to form a root into every area of your life. That's why the Word of God warns us, don't let that root of bitterness take over your life. Oh, listen to this. God is giving us, the Holy Spirit is giving us this morning a tornado warning in His Word not to let that progress, because it's going to ruin every area of your life. It's going to ruin your marriage. It's going to ruin every relationship in your life. It's going to ruin your workplace. Or your job, your time in your workplace. Because all your decision-making, listen to me, will be coming from that root of bitterness, because the poison got into the veins and it's touching. Just as if you were looking at a tree with the root system. That's what a root of bitterness is in your life. Anybody getting this? I never knew that. I in the past, I always thought, oh, well, there's anger, there's bitterness, they're two separate things. No, bitterness is warned about because it's several different things. It's the perfect storm. Interesting. So it changes your entire, bitterness will change because of the root system. Bitterness will change your entire identity or view of yourself. And that root goes very deep. So we need to be brutally honest with ourselves and admit if we are being poisoned by the root of bitterness in our life or any other negative emotion. Amen? That's how we need to start before we start to detox. The first thing, you have to recognize it. Just like they tell a drug addict or an alcoholic, the first step is admitting you are. Admit you even have a problem, because until you admit it, you're not going to seek for help. And the same is true with detoxing your soul and getting rid of these toxic emotions in your heart. Get back to that place of love and forgiveness toward others. Ready for this? And yourself. And yourself. You wouldn't believe how many Christians they walk in unforgiveness toward themselves because of the mistakes they made in the past. You need to cut it off. If the Apostle Paul, who killed Christians, come on, somebody. I mean, if he can let go and he can move forward, well, get out of your little pity party then, okay? I don't really feel bad for you, okay? Let's get out of that pit, that emotional pit. I want you to notice in this passage that God is telling us how to protect ourselves from that root of bitterness. Here's the instructions he gives us in Hebrews 12. The Bible is amazing. God is amazing. He gives us step-by-step instructions. Here's what he says, how to protect against bitterness. Number one, pursue peace with all people and live a life of holiness. That means a life of obedience to the Word of God, right? And to the Holy Spirit, all right? And to stay within the grace of God. You're going to stay within the grace of God if you're doing that, right? Don't fall short of the grace of God. And then we are to give grace to others. Oh, that's a hard one. That's a hard one, Lord. They hurt me so bad. I feel like they ruined my life. Grace to them? Yep. Guess what? For your own health. For your own well-being. All right? We need to walk in love toward others. 1 Corinthians 13. It's the love chapter, right? We are to put that into practice toward others. All right? Walking in love. This is what the Holy Spirit told me. This is how supernatural it is to walk in love, right? Listen, walking in love, he said, will cleanse and detox your conscience and soul in your life. There's something supernatural about walking in love. Why? Because we were created to do it, and that's God's divine order. Remember, I talked about divine order last night in many sermons. Walking in what God created you to walk in. Amen? It will help in healing your soul wounds from the past because you were created to love. You were created to love. Now, let's shift gears here. I posted this on Facebook this week. By the way, if you're not friends with me on Facebook, become friends with me. I'm posting stuff all the time. And you can also subscribe to a text every day or when I feel like it, when I get the urge. I throw out little nuggets, right? So if you want to do that, just let us know. We'll get you out and tell you how to do that. But I posted on Facebook this week. The goal of emotional healing ministry is not for you to get you to forget your past. Because that's impossible. Of course, you're going to remember what happened in the past, right? All right? The goal of emotional healing ministry with the help of the Holy Spirit is to do this. Are you ready? To detach painful and harmful emotions that are attached to traumatic memories in your soul that give demons place to torment you. To influence you negatively. That's what emotional healing is, all right? So when something traumatic, listen to this. Someone needs to hear this. When something traumatic happens in a person's life, the Holy Spirit showed me this. It's like a bookmark in a book. It's like a road marker on a road that's placed within that memory in your soul. You can't forget it. It was life-changing, whether in a negative or a positive way. And some people choose to move forward with their life, but some other people they get stuck in that place. And the difference is what you are focusing on and if you have a healthy self-image of yourself based on the Word of God. Because a lot of people say, well, I'm not worthy to do any better. I'm not worthy to feel any better. Am I talking to anyone today? Now, listen. The people that are stuck have a very hard time detaching those negative emotions from those painful memories. And that's where you need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to truly help you break that yoke of bondage in your life. Amen? I like to say it this way. They need that power boost from the Holy Ghost. Amen? And to receive that healing in their soul. Now remember, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is our helper. But so that means he helps us, but it still takes our will to want it. You desire it and want it, the Holy Spirit says, yeah, I'm going to jump in. I'm going to help you with that. Amen? So God has desired from the beginning of time to have a partnership with mankind. Say partnership. When we try to do things on our own apart from him, we will always fail to get lasting results. Amen? Doing anything without the Holy Spirit is really out of God's divine order. Amen? Because he wants that partnership. He lives in you, right? Now, here's the deal. If you were to see a visual picture of a person's soul or mind, you would see bookmarks of significant events that happened to them in a positive and a negative way. You would see parts of their soul and mind that literally have been shattered or fragmented. Say fragmented. Parts of their soul, you know, your soul can literally get what's called fragmented. You want to know what we call that usually? A broken heart. Say broken heart. Broken heart. Anybody ever experienced a broken heart in here? We all have. Amen. I have ministered deliverance and emotional healing to people for over 25 years now, men and women of all ages. And in certain situations trigger adults to regress and act like a child or a younger age because of a trauma that happened to them at a younger age. Why? Because that part of them fragmented off. Are you following me? Oh, this is some deep stuff. I'm talking about adults who are emotional triggered in some way. Have you ever seen an adult who something happens and all of a sudden they're acting like a 5-year-old? There's an anger, there's a tantrum, there's something. Something happened at an age that impacted them. It was a bookmark. It was a marker in the road. There's a fragment there. So what do we do with emotional healing? We go into those memories. We meet with the person. We go into those memories by talking to them about it. And we try to get them to feel that negative emotion. It's uncomfortable at times, but you try to get them to feel it. And then when they start to feel it, they feel like they're in that situation, we invite the Holy Spirit in to heal and restore that broken soul, to mend that broken soul. It's absolutely powerful. It sounds like, oh, wow, that sounds... Yeah, that's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost needs to get involved in it, amen? And you would be amazed that talking about a painful memory from the past and from the perspective from the Word of God, you would be amazed at how much healing someone can receive just by talking about it. We don't even have to say that much because we're not trying to figure it out. We're just giving the Holy Ghost an opportunity to get in that memory. I can't even take credit for it because it's nothing I'm saying in the natural. We rely on the anointing of the Holy Ghost because those sessions are filled with the presence of God, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so when they're talking about it, they're unloading, and it's like detoxifying their soul. You know, when ministering to people, and they start to talk to us about certain things like that, I'll ask them, I'll say, have you ever talked to anyone about this situation before? And the majority say, I've never told anyone. Well, no wonder your life feels like it's spinning. Like a Cessna 150 in a spin, and you can't get out of this thing. Because you've been holding that burden. You've been stuck in that mode. You got these broken pieces of your soul that feel out of place in your life. So the majority say, no, I've never talked to anyone. And they shoved it under the rug for many years. I'm talking, by the way, about detoxing your soul this morning. That is why many Christians, I said Christians, turn to drugs, turn to alcohol, turn to pornography, and other things, trying to numb their pain. But it's making their soul even more toxic. When God's saying, slow down, stop, let me in, I will fix your broken heart. Think about that. God is interested. He is concerned more than you are to heal that broken heart. I don't care how alpha male you are. I don't care. Everybody has parts of their heart that are broken somewhere. And you need healing. You need to detox that thing. Amen? So, and then because that person's soul is wounded, it's toxic, it's broken. Because of that, they're always making decisions based on that. And so what happens? It draws other people into their life that's toxic as well. And so what happens is it's a negative cycle. It just keeps happening and happening. They get with someone who's abusive, someone who's horrible to them. They get a divorce. They say, yes, I'm free. Then they get with someone else who's abusive, who talks down to them. Oh, then they get a divorce. Yes, I'm free. Then they find some. Are you following me? It's time to break this negative cycle. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. Break this negative thing. Detox your soul right now so you can attract my kingdom into your life. See, it's like a runaway train. Things go from bad to worse, baby. They go from bad to worse. If you want to change and shift your life, you must deal and heal your heart and soul. It takes work, it takes effort, it takes diligence. But here's what it also takes that many Christians say, I don't want to go there. Are you ready? Vulnerability. It takes a vulnerability to go to someone and say, look, I need to talk. Pastor James, I need to set up this emotional healing and deliverance session. It takes a vulnerability that many Christians are not willing to go to. Well, guess what? That runaway train keeps running away. And God's saying, I have so much better for you. I have so much better for you. Almost done. So you will start to see things differently in your life. When you start to detox your soul, listen, this is going to sound weird, but people tell us all the time in these sessions when they walk away. They say, the colors even seem more vibrant. I'm seeing things differently. I feel more alive than I ever have before. Just like someone who detoxed their body or liver. When you're in a fast, about the third day, you feel like Superman. I mean, you feel energy, right? You just did one, right? You feel that energy. You feel clarity. You feel it's good. The same thing happens when you declutter your soul. You'll feel like a ton of bricks have been lifted off of you. And people walk away from our sessions. They literally say, many times, not all, many times they do, I feel lighter. I literally feel lighter on my feet. See, what it is, it's a spiritual thing that they're feeling in all of their senses. It affects everything. Why? Because it's all connected. Spirit, soul, and body, they're all connected, right? Here's something the Holy Spirit wanted me to tell you. Start journaling during your prayer time. I know, Marianne, you love to journal. And the Lord said, tell people to start journaling during their time with me. To talk to him about those painful experiences. Write down what you feel in your heart, and that will help in the detox process. What doesn't help is shoving it under the rug and acting like nothing's wrong. When you know something's wrong, and everyone around you knows something's wrong. Hello. Always remember, don't ever forget, that you can't stop the enemy from throwing seeds on the ground of your heart, but you can stop those seeds from being planted in your heart. Once a seed or a thought from the enemy is meditated on and planted and roots start to form, that is the point. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit said this. When the roots start to form, that's when you give demons legal right in your life to torment you. It's all about the root. All right? So that seed must be planted if you're given a legal right. All right? That say legal right. Now, that goes with the kingdom of God, and it goes for the kingdom of darkness. The seed must be planted. That's why God says in his word that understanding, when you start to get understanding, that's why the word tells us to meditate on the things of God. Why? Because you're given permission to the kingdom of God. So when you start meditating on the negative things, you're given permission, unfortunately, to the kingdom of darkness. Are you seeing it? So a legal right simply means permission granted. That's what, when I say a legal right, it means you're granting permission to one of the two kingdoms, kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness, all right? So we need to learn to discern between your personal thoughts and the thoughts of the enemy that he's trying to sow into the flow of your thought life. Make sure you have an effective and clean spiritual filter to sort out those flowing thoughts, okay? You, listen, you're having thoughts flow in and out of your thought life all the time, right? Real quick, my last scripture here, and I'm going to finish on something that it's a revelation the Holy Spirit gave to me that's absolutely powerful. That's what I want to end it on. Hebrews 4:12. Go there with me real quick, and then we'll get you guys out of here. And then we'll kick you out of here, right? But there's one thing that you can't do today. You're not going to leave here and say, I didn't learn anything today. Amen. You learned something, and you're going to put it into practice. Amen? Amen. Hebrews 4:12, and it says this, "For the word of God is living," or alive, "and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That's pretty good, isn't it? Now tune in. I know it's been a long one, but please tune in for this final. I'm on final approach, all right? In pilot talk. Here we go. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. You agree with the word?
Yes.
All right. The word of God, it says, divides soulish or carnal between what is spiritual or righteous. So the soulish is talking about carnal thoughts, your own thoughts. And the spiritual is talking about the thoughts that come from the kingdom of God, from the Lord. Are you getting it? Now listen to me. The word of God, it says, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So knowing God's word then will help you discern the thoughts that flow into your soul. You got to get the word in you. Without knowing the word of God, it's impossible. I said impossible to discern properly between soul and spirit, all right? Now, you're like, duh, we knew that. Big revelation. That's not what I'm talking about. Are you ready? Here we go. The Greek word that is translated powerful in that is the word energes, okay? It's where we get our English word energetic from, which means energetic means full of energy or a high level of energy. All right, listen to this. The Holy Spirit revealed something so powerful. If you'll take hold of this, it'll change your thoughts too. The Word of God is filled with high energy. It is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you guys agree with that? All right. As we read the Word of God, we are getting filled and becoming aware of that higher energy, which is the anointing and the presence of God. Amen? You agree with that? We're getting acquainted, you could say it this way, with the voice of God, okay? As we read the Word of God, we are getting acquainted with His voice. We are becoming familiar with His voice, with that high energy connection with the Word. Now, here's how I'm going to tie it all together. John 1:1 reveals that Jesus is the Word of God, right? In John 10:27, Jesus said something very interesting. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then he went on to say that they would not follow the voice of a stranger, right? Here's the revelation. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. He said, as my people read and hear my word, there is spiritual energy or an anointing being released within them. It's not just a knowledge being released. There is a sound. There is a frequency being released with it. When, and here, listen to this, he distinguished it with this way. When an evil spirit from the kingdom of darkness tries to speak to my people, it's a different voice or frequency. That's why you won't follow the voice of a stranger, because you'll know God's voice when you get into his word. It's a different voice. It's the enemy's voice. You could say it this way. It's a lower energy than the word of God, than God's voice. So my people will be able to distinguish between my voice and the voice of the stranger, which is the enemy. But listen to this. Then he went on to say this. I love when the Holy Spirit's the teacher. He is the best teacher. Listen to this. The reason it's a different frequency is that because evil spirits, all the beings in the kingdom of darkness, do not carry the anointing. They do not carry the presence of God on them anymore. They don't carry light within them since they rebelled and got kicked out of heaven. So there's a different frequency. There's a different sound. Even science tells us this, listen to me, that a lower frequency has to do with negative emotions. Negative depression, a heaviness. It's science. This is not New Age. This is science, confirmed. Depression and heaviness. It says there's a lower frequency. But this says the word of God is alive and powerful or full of high energy. You want to raise your frequency? Come on. Get into the word of God. Start hearing the word. Start reading the word. Amen? The only way we can get deceived is if we're not getting the word of God into us and becoming aware with that higher frequency. It's also proven that positive emotions, joy, and peace have a higher frequency. The true science is confirmed by the word of God, by the way. Amen? So when you get into the word of God, that high energy of the word, the anointing that's upon the word of God will begin to identify the light of the word, will begin to shine the light in the darkness of those bondages and those wounds in your life. It gives the Holy Spirit something to work with. A tool. The word of God is the tool the Holy Spirit works with to bring healing to you. The word of God is full of energy, the frequency of heaven and light. We need to get that into our soul. That is why the word of God renews and transforms our mind. That high energy, that light shines and pierces through all darkness on the inside of us. The word of God is healthy for you. It's good for your health, literally. Proverbs chapter 4, read it. If you want to be more sensitive to the voice of God, get into the word so the word can get into you. And you will become more aware and acquainted with his voice, with his, I like to say it this way, the whole scientific part. To become acquainted with the heavenly frequency. You need to get tuned in, amen. So the word of God is spiritual food, it's supernatural. The word of God is the only thing in the entire universe that can cleanse, that can detox, and heal your soul. Church, as we move into this season of his glory and power being poured out, let's take the time to detox our soul and have a clean and pure heart toward God. Amen? Let's stand up in this place. Prayer team, come on down. Hallelujah. My goodness. Meditate on that revelation this week. It'll blow your natural mind. Amen. It'll take you higher. Amen? Amen? The voice of a stranger you will not follow, because you will recognize the voice of the shepherd as you get into the word. Now, maybe there's someone in here, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. You're a child of the devil, but today you heard something. You're like, I know, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. Today's the day. Don't leave this place without making him Lord of your life. If that's you, come down and pray with one of the prayer team members. And probably more than not, this is usually more of these kind, are those who are backslidden. You feel like you're distant from God. What I just talked about, it just seems foolish. It seems foolish. You're in that fleshly, carnal mindset. But something switched on the inside of you. You started to feel a drawing. You started to feel a stirring. And you want to make a brand new start with God. If that's you, I want you to come down and pray. Just pray with a prayer team member. Tell someone that you're rededicating your life to the Lord. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, you want to pray in tongues, you want to learn about it, come down and pray with one of the prayer team members. If you need prayer for anything else, you need prayer for healing or someone else or anything else, come down. So I want to thank the visitors for coming today as well. We appreciate you. We hope you come back. Living Waters Chapel is a growing church family, amen? And we are all about making disciples for Jesus Christ, amen? So take what the Holy Ghost gave you today, put it into practice, and you'll see your life shift like never before. Have a great week. Love you all.